Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is The Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
All right. Get ready, because today we're diving deep into the world of high finance with Morgan Stanley's 10Q report for the third quarter of 2024.
Ooh, yeah, this is going to be good.
This document might seem a little dry at first glance, but
oh, absolutely.
It's actually a gold mine of information about this financial giant.
Yeah.
And we're going to uncover not just what they did, but why they did it and what it all might mean going forward.
What I think is really interesting here is, you know, we see all these flashy headlines about banks and financial institutions all the time, but a 10Q report, this is like the real deal. You know, it's like an X-ray. It shows you like the skeleton of their entire operation.
Okay, so let's unpack this skeleton. Uh-huh. For those who might not be familiar, Morgan Stanley is not just, you know, some bank on the corner.
Right.
Can you give us a quick overview of what their main businesses are?
Yeah, absolutely. So they have three main segments: institutional securities, wealth management, and investment management. And each one caters to a different type of client and plays a crucial part in their overall strategy.
And the scale of their operations is just, it's mind-blowing. They have 80,000 employees around the world.
Wow.
And they're handling client assets worth, get this, $7.572 trillion.
It's not a typo, that's real money. And that just shows you the massive influence they have in the global financial system.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable that all of this is detailed in this seemingly, you know, ordinary document.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a financial novel with billions of dollars at stake.
Uh-huh.
And speaking of stakes, the report also mentions the different types of stock that Morgan Stanley offers, like common stock and depository shares and global medium-term notes.
Right.
What are the key differences between these?
It's all about how investors can kind of get a piece of the pie and share in Morgan Stanley's growth potential.
Okay.
Common stock is your typical stock ownership.
Yeah.
Depository shares represent pieces of preferred stock, which tend to be a little more stable. And global medium-term notes are basically like you're loaning Morgan Stanley money.
Okay, so whether you're, you know, a big risk taker or you prefer to play it safe, there's a way for you to get involved with Morgan Stanley.
Right.
But enough about the options. Let's get to the meat of this thing.
Yes.
How did they actually perform this quarter?
Well, hold on to your hats, because they reported a whopping $15.4 billion in net revenues for Q3.
Wow.
That's not just a random number. That means that every single one of their business segments is doing well.
All right, so they're firing on all cylinders.
Exactly.
But let's dig a little deeper than just revenue.
Okay.
The report mentions an ROE of 13.1% and an ROTCE of 17.5%.
Oh, yeah.
What do those numbers actually tell us about Morgan Stanley's financial health?
Okay, so those are more than just fancy acronyms.
Right.
ROE, or return on equity, basically tells you how well they're using their shareholders' money and make a profit.
Okay.
And ROTCE focuses on the tangible equity, which is like the stuff you can actually touch, like buildings and equipment. Both of these figures are way above average, which means Morgan Stanley is really efficient at generating profits.
So they're not just surviving, they're absolutely thriving.
Exactly.
They're killing it.
The report also mentions an expense efficiency ratio of 72%. Is that another sign of their financial strength?
Absolutely. That number tells you how much they're spending for every dollar they bring in.
Okay.
The lower, the better. And 72% is really good. It shows that they're keeping their costs under control.
Okay, so that's the big picture. Mm-hmm. But now I want to get into the weeds a little bit and talk about each of their business segments individually.
Let's do it.
Let's start with institutional securities. What's driving their success?
Okay, well, this segment saw a 20% jump in net revenues this quarter, bringing in $6.815 billion.
Wow.
A lot of this growth is coming from their equity revenues, which have been boosted by a surge in mergers and acquisitions, particularly in Europe, the Middle East, and Africa.
So they're acting as advisors in these big M&A deals and collecting those fees.
Yeah, basically, it's like they're playing a global game of corporate chess.
Uh-huh, exactly.
But it's not just M&A activity that's driving their success, right?
No, they've also been taking advantage of the strong market conditions with increased equity and fixed income underwriting.
Okay, so they're helping companies raise capital.
Exactly. And with the markets doing so well, it's a great time to be in that business.
They're riding that wave and making a killing doing it.
Uh-huh. You got it.
Okay, so institutional securities doing great.
Yeah.
What about wealth management? How do they do?
All right, so maybe not as dramatic as institutional securities, but wealth management delivered solid growth with a 14% increase in net revenue, reaching $7.270 billion.
Okay.
A lot of this increase came from higher asset management revenue and some strategic gains on DCP investments.
DCP investments? I'm not familiar with that acronym. What does that stand for?
Yeah, so DCP stands for Depositary Receipts Program. It's basically a way for investors to hold shares of foreign companies.
Mm-hmm.
Morgan Stanley made some smart moves with their DCP investments, which helped boost their wealth management segment.
Gotcha. But what's really interesting here is their focus on growing fee-based client assets.
Yeah, that's a smart move.
Yeah, yeah.
It creates a more stable and predictable revenue stream for them.
Okay, but the report also mentions lower interest rates as a potential headwind.
Mm-hmm.
How does that affect them?
Well, a big chunk of their wealth management revenue comes from something called net interest income.
Mm-hmm.
It's the difference between the interest they earn on their assets and the interest they pay on their liabilities.
Okay.
So when interest rates go down, that difference shrinks and it can hurt their earnings.
So it's a challenge they're going to have to manage carefully.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we've covered institutional securities and wealth management.
Yeah.
What about investment management? What can we learn from that segment?
Well, investment management is all about understanding how investors are thinking and what they're doing with their money. The report shows that there have been net outflows from equity, which could mean that investors are looking for better returns elsewhere, or maybe they're getting a little more risk-averse.
So does that mean they're losing confidence in the stock market?
It's possible, but here's the interesting part. They're actually seeing inflows into other asset classes, like alternatives and solutions and fixed income.
Okay.
This tells me that investors are looking for ways to diversify their portfolios and find more predictable returns.
So it's not necessarily a lack of confidence, but more of a shift in their preferences.
Exactly. And Morgan Stanley is adapting to meet those changing needs.
So this section on investment management is like a mini lesson in investor psychology.
You could say that.
It shows how Morgan Stanley has to constantly innovate to stay ahead of the curve.
Absolutely.
But all this change brings up another really important issue.
What's that?
Risk management. How are they making sure they don't lose money in this crazy financial landscape?
That's a great question, and it's something we need to talk about in detail because with trillions of dollars on the line,
managing risk is absolutely crucial. You're absolutely right. Managing risk is like the name of the game in finance, especially when you're dealing with the kind of money Morgan Stanley handles.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's not just one type of risk they have to worry about either. The report highlights their focus on credit risk, market risk, and even country risk.
Okay, so let's break those down one by one.
Sure.
Starting with credit risk.
Okay.
What are they doing to make sure they don't lose money when they're lending to clients?
Well, think of their loan portfolio as a carefully curated collection. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to make sure they have valuable assets in there.
Mm-hmm.
The report emphasizes that over 90% of their lending exposure is either investment grade or secured by collateral.
Okay.
So basically they're being very picky about who they lend to and they're making sure they have some insurance in case things go wrong.
That's good to hear they're not just throwing money around.
No, not at all.
All right, so they've got credit risk covered.
Mm-hmm. What about market risk? How do they even begin to manage something as unpredictable as the market?
Market risk is all about trying to anticipate those sudden shifts in the financial landscape, you know, mm-hmm. like interest rate hikes, currency fluctuations, commodity prices, things that can really shake things up.
Right.
Morgan Stanley uses a bunch of different strategies to try and predict and mitigate these potential losses, including things like hedging and sophisticated modeling techniques.
So it's kind of like trying to predict the weather, except with trillions of dollars at stake.
Uh-huh. Yeah, something like that. They're constantly monitoring all those financial barometers, looking for any signs of trouble.
Okay, so they're on their toes.
Always.
But it's not just the domestic markets they have to consider, right?
Nope. The report also talks about country risks.
Country risk, what is that?
It's the risk that events in a specific country could negatively impact their investments or operations.
Okay.
You know, things like political instability, economic downturns, regulatory changes. Imagine having billions of dollars invested in a country that suddenly goes through a major upheaval.
Wow, that's scary.
Yeah, it can be a big deal.
So does the report mention any specific countries they're keeping an eye on?
They do, actually. They list their top 10 non-U.S. country exposures with the U.K., Germany, and Australia at the top.
Okay.
But they're not just sitting back and watching. They have a whole framework for managing these risks, and they actively adjust their strategies as needed.
So they have a team of people dedicated to this?
Absolutely.
Okay. So we've talked about how they manage risk across different areas.
Right.
But what about the regulatory landscape? Aren't there a bunch of rules and regulations that financial institutions have to comply with?
Oh, yeah. Tons of them. The financial world is heavily regulated, and for good reason.
Yeah.
One of the most important requirements for Morgan Stanley is something called the Stress Capital Buffer, or SCB.
Okay.
Think of it like an extra cushion, a financial safety net.
Gotcha.
The Federal Reserve conducts these really tough stress tests where they put banks through all sorts of hypothetical scenarios to see how they would hold up.
So they're basically wargaming potential financial crises.
Exactly. They want to make sure that Morgan Stanley can withstand any kind of shock.
That sounds pretty intense.
It is. And based on the results of the 2024 stress test, the Fed decided that Morgan Stanley needs to increase their SCB from 5.4% to 6.0% starting October 1st.
Wow.
That means they have to hold even more capital in reserve, which affects their Common Equity Tier 1 ratio, which is a key measure of their financial strength.
So the Fed is basically saying, hey, you're doing great, but let's add another layer of protection just in case.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're making sure Morgan Stanley is prepared for anything.
Okay, so they're meeting those regulatory requirements.
Right.
But they also have to think strategically about how they allocate their capital across all their different business segments.
Absolutely. It's a big decision.
So how do they decide where to invest their money?
Well, they have to consider a lot of factors, including risk leverage, growth potential, and even the overall economic environment.
It's a balancing act.
Oh, yeah, a big one.
This reminds me of the $20 billion share buyback program that the report mentioned.
Fair.
Is that part of their capital allocation strategy?
Absolutely. Share buybacks are a way for companies to show that they're confident about the future.
Okay.
When they buy back their own shares, it reduces the number of shares out there, which can boost their earnings per share and potentially increase the stock price.
So it's a way of saying, hey, we believe in ourselves.
Exactly.
It's a bold move, especially considering all the economic uncertainties we've been talking about.
It is, but it shows that they're optimistic about their prospects.
Okay, so we've talked about their financial performance,
yeah,
their risk management strategies, and even the regulatory landscape.
Yeah, we've covered a lot of ground.
But there's one more piece of the puzzle that we need to talk about.
What's that?
The legal challenges they face.
Oh, right. Those are important, too.
Yeah. These aren't just some boring legal proceedings. These cases offer a glimpse into the high-stakes world of financial regulation and the potential pitfalls that even a giant like Morgan Stanley can encounter.
It's a reminder that no one is above the law.
Exactly. So let's dive into that next, shall we?
Let's do it.
Okay, so let's shift gears a little bit and talk about these legal battles that Morgan Stanley has been involved in.
Yeah, these are always interesting because you get to see the legal side of things. You know, all the courtroom drama.
Yeah, and these aren't just some, you know, abstract legal concepts either.
Right.
They can actually have a real impact on the company's bottom line and their reputation.
Oh, absolutely.
So the report talks about their commitment to transparency and outlines a bunch of different cases, some that have been settled and some that are still ongoing.
Right.
And each one kind of reveals a different piece of this complex legal puzzle that they're navigating.
Yeah.
One that caught my eye was the interest rate swaps antitrust litigation.
Oh, yeah. That one's been going on for a while.
It sounds pretty complicated, but what's the gist of it?
Basically, it involves accusations of market manipulation. A bunch of financial institutions, including Morgan Stanley, were accused of conspiring to rig the interest rate swaps market.
Okay, so they were trying to control prices for their own benefit?
Yeah, essentially.
Market manipulation? That sounds like something out of a movie.
It does, doesn't it?
So what happened? What was the outcome of this whole thing?
Well, after a lot of back and forth legal maneuvering, they ended up reaching a settlement agreement in principle.
Okay, so they settled. Does that mean they admitted they did something wrong?
Not necessarily. Settlements are pretty common in these kinds of cases because it lets everyone avoid the uncertainty and the potential cost of a long, drawn-out legal battle.
So it's more of a strategic decision.
Exactly.
Okay, so what other legal challenges have they faced?
Well, another one mentioned in the report is the securities lending antitrust litigation.
Okay.
And it's kind of similar to the previous one. It involves accusations of market manipulation, but this time in the securities lending market.
And did they settle this one too?
They did, yep. It seems like they prefer to resolve these issues quickly and move on.
Yeah, it makes sense. They want to focus on running their business.
Right.
It's interesting, though, how antitrust issues keep popping up in the financial industry.
Yeah, it's a reminder that even these big companies aren't above the law.
For sure.
And it shows how important it is to have strong compliance programs in place.
Yeah, and a strong ethical compass.
Absolutely.
The report also mentions a settlement related to allegations of misleading investors about mortgage-backed securities.
Oh, right. Those were at the heart of the 2008 financial crisis.
Yeah, exactly. So these cases are still having an impact all these years later.
It's a reminder that the past can come back to haunt you.
For sure. So what's the takeaway here for investors like myself?
I think the main thing is to remember that investing in any financial institution, even one as big and successful as Morgan Stanley, comes with risks.
Okay.
Legal and regulatory risks are part of the game, and they can have a real impact on your investments.
So it's important to do your research and understand what you're getting into.
Absolutely.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground today.
Yeah, we have.
We've looked at Morgan Stanley's financial performance, their risk management strategies, and even their legal battles.
It's been a pretty comprehensive deep dive.
It has. And I hope our listeners have learned a lot and feel more confident about making their own investment decisions.
I hope so, too.
It's always a pleasure chatting with you.
Likewise. Thanks for having me.
And to our listeners, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Morgan Stanley's 10Q report for the third quarter of 2024. We'll see you next time.
This is the Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.